I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. You know, rightly or wrongly, we are greatly influenced by the media. What we read in the newspapers, listen to on the radio, or what we watch on television contributes to our opinions about individuals and whole people groups. Have you ever wondered what opinions people have formed about our God through the media? Sadly, in recent years, there has been much news on the moral failings of God's people. And today, Kenneth reminds us that we don't live life in a vacuum. People are watching.
Hi, everyone. It's great to have you with us. We are going for a run today. Are you ready for one? The Bible talks about walking in many places, but it also speaks about running. And here is one place in the New Testament which talks about running. And we are going to consider that verse as our text. It's from Hebrews chapter 12. And in the very first verse, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So here we have a metaphor of life as running a race. To be sure, this is not a rat race, a term we sometimes use to describe the humdrum routine of life, going around in endless cycles, like on a treadmill. It is also about a long-distance race, not a short dash or a sprint. Another thing about a race is that it is not the same as your leisurely jog. There is an element of limited time, a sense of urgency, and it's not the same as leisurely recreation. And I think this is especially important for those who are starting out young, to be able to stay on course, that is to stay focused, as well as to stay the course with perseverance. Now, this text in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 talks about three things. First, notice it says that we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. So we have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us to cheer us on. They comprise those who have gone on the way before us. Though we may be tempted at times to think this way, we are not alone, and we are not the first to run this course. There are many who have gone on before us. So we can listen and learn from them, and it's good to be in the company and fellowship of others who know the way and who have gone through the same way. So this is a good starting point to realize that we are following in the wake of witnesses who have gone on before us. If they have made it, so can we. If others have run well on this course, so can we. So that's the first easy point, very brief, but it helps us to remember that the Christian runs his race not alone, but in the company of all the other believers in the Church of Jesus Christ. Next, I would like you to notice the occurrence of two exhortations in this verse, beginning with the words, "let us." And here is the first one, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us." And the second is, "let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And we are going to spend some time on these two major exhortations. So let's take the first one. Let us lay aside. We begin with a negative exhortation. Let us lay aside. And what do we lay aside? Every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. To lay aside is to cast or to throw off everything that hinders. There is no room for anything that weighs us down or sets us back in a race, Because when you run in a race, every bit of energy counts. And you can't afford to squander away your time or your energy because this is a race, it's not a recreation. I recall in our military training days in national service, we used to have to take running tests for 5 kilometers and then later 10 kilometers. So these were distance running tests. And we had to do this with all our equipment and gear. So we were all checked physically that we had the proper gear on, including our water bottles, which needed to be filled to the brim. That's fine if you're on a mission because you really need water. It's a precious commodity. But in a test, when we were all well prepared, we drank lots of water, we were well primed for the duration of that run, we didn't really need it. So it was like excess baggage. In fact, if we wanted a drink, there were marshallers along the way who could give you a drink. So while we all started off with our water bottles full because that was the regulation, most of us would turn our water bottles over and empty them as soon as we could because we reckoned that we wouldn't need them for the next 30 minutes or 60 minutes. And it was the only commodity that we could effectively get rid of because every bit of additional weight was an encumbrance for that run. So the exhortation here is to lay aside every weight. We have to leave behind, we have to jettison all unnecessary weight or baggage for that particular trip or run. It's the same as when we are traveling with excess or unutilized baggage. You know how it is when we are packing that we usually tend to overpack. How about this? How about adding that just in case we need it? But how often have we come back from a trip only to find that quite a number of things we have brought along the way have never been needed or touched during the whole journey? Now, the verse specifically says what we are to lay aside, every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. So this refers to the need to discard and to dispose of sin in our lives. What hinders us most in life is sin, in whatever shape or form. It says in Galatians chapter 5 verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So sin and doing things in the flesh really keep us from doing the things that we desire to do and which are good to do. And we need to recognize sin as the hindrance and the obstacle that keeps you from really moving on and living life to the fullest as God intended. But notice in particular that it mentions the sin which so easily ensnares us. What is this kind of sin which we can call a besetting sin? Well, it's the kind of sin which keeps tripping you up and tying you down repeatedly. It may vary from person to person, but it's that sin which gets you entangled so that you have to stop and you have to wriggle yourself and extricate yourself out of the mess before you can continue running. It saps your strength and you lose valuable time in the process. So a besetting sin is that particular weakness or stumbling block that keeps tripping you up again and again. It's your Achilles heel, if you like, your weak spot and your stumbling block. So we need to be very much aware of our greatest point of vulnerability. And we need to deal severely with a sense of vengeance and without any sympathy for every sin and unhelpful habit by laying it aside and moving on without coming back to pick it up again. The reason for doing so is simply this bigger picture and more important fact that you are in a race. And as we have already been saved and forgiven of our sins, and we have started on a new life, the question is, why mess it up again? That is the primary motivation for dropping and laying aside all sinful habits. And if you belong to the Lord, you'll find that you cannot sin and still enjoy it. I'm sorry to have to say that, but at the same time, I'm glad to have to say that so that you understand that the most miserable position to be in is for a believer to hang on to his old life and his old sinful habits. It's a most precarious and uncomfortable position to move around if you have one leg in the world and another leg in the church. So have this absolutely clear once and for all if you are a believer. Why make things and life more miserable for yourself? You should go on and enjoy your new life in Christ thoroughly. But if you are not saved yet, know that you can be free from sin and you can overcome sin by coming to Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Trust in the Lord and in His Word, and keep asking Him for His help and enabling. Be humble and patient as you keep doing this, laying aside every encumbrance and sin, so that you can go on and grow in holiness. So that's the first "let us" exhortation. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Second, let's move on to the positive exhortation, which is, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. A race is meant to be completed, and finishing the race is really the primary requirement. Winning a prize is a bonus. Notice it is not our own race or a race that others has set for us that we are competing against. Notice that it says in the verse, it's the race that is set before us or marked out for us. So it's a race that has been set or marked out before us by God. All the distance, the difficulty level, all the stages, the obstacles, any twists and turns, they are all marked out for us by God. So we run for God, and we have to run our own race and not look at others who are behind us or beside us or before us. And we have to run this race with patience and perseverance, because it's not a short sprint or a dash, but it's more like a long-distance, cross-country type of race. And for these kinds of races, what is required is real stamina and strength in order to stay the course and not to give up. In fact, in the same book of Hebrews, back in chapter 10, verse 36, it says, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." So that is what we really need in order to run the race with endurance, so that we may be able to complete it. We need patience and perseverance in order to receive the promise. Now, when we are in for the long haul, I guess the biggest obstacle is the temptation to be discouraged, to lose heart and to give up when the going gets tough, and we begin to feel faint, or when we keep falling and we don't seem to be able to overcome or to make good progress. Well, who hasn't experienced moments like these, not only in a long-distance race but in life? I find it interesting to learn that long-distance and marathon runners sometimes experience an apparently insurmountable physiological barrier, which feels like hitting an invisible wall. So they call it hitting the wall. And this can happen well into the race. And all of a sudden, you are seized with this intense feeling that seems to want to stop dead in your tracks. And this can happen to runners when they cross a point in the race when the body has run out of glycogen reserves. These are its primary fuel source. And then the body has to switch to using fat as a backup fuel supply. And so this sudden change affects the running performance severely, unless the body has been adequately trained and primed to cross this critical transition zone with less shock. But once the runner is over the wall, then the worst is over. But this serves to remind us that in order to run the race with endurance, we really need to keep adequately primed and prepared to be able to take the shocks as well as the hard knocks during the race. And there is no shortcut to spiritual fitness, but we have to keep ourselves spiritually in tune and trained through the Word of God and prayer. There is also another phenomenon of distance running that is quite interesting. It's sometimes called the second wind. This describes the feeling when the runner, who is too tired and breathless to carry on, suddenly finds in himself a new surge of power with the strength to press on at a higher level of performance. And almost suddenly and inexplicably, the weariness and the heaviness seems to just drop off. So the exhortation here is to keep running and not to stop, however slow or hard it seems. One of the things I remember clearly when we were being trained for these long distance runs is to never break the momentum by stopping, whatever happens. You may take smaller or shorter paces so that it almost seems like you're running on the spot, but don't give in to the temptation to stop and to walk, because once you do that, it's very hard to start over again when your breathing rate and your momentum has been interrupted. The practical question then is, what do we do when we hit the wall? Or how can we experience such a second wind? And this is found in the very next verse after our text in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, where it continues to say, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. At such times, the worst thing that you can do is to look at yourself, to look within. It is also not helpful to look at others because you get tremendously discouraged by others who are ahead of you or who are passing by you. The thing to do is to look unto Jesus, because he is the pioneer, the author, as well as the perfecter or the finisher of our faith. And as soon as we do that, we will begin to feel the second wind starting to blow. Remember, it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but those who persevere and press on. We make progress through overcoming obstacles on the way. And if you trip and fall, don't get bogged down. Just pick yourself up by confessing your sin and putting it away, and then just get up and get going again. In some distance and ultra runs, they have people called pace makers or pace setters, whose role is mainly to get the maximum performance out of the runners. And often it makes a great difference to understand that you are not just like a solitary runner having to negotiate the long trail all alone. There are not only clouds of witnesses watching you, but there are other runners who are running with you. And in particular, you have your pacemaker or pace setter right beside you. And as our pacer, we have none other than the Holy Spirit himself. In John's Gospel, the Holy Spirit is called the Helper. And that name literally means one who comes alongside to help. And this is the best kind of encouragement for a lagging runner. It's not someone pushing you from behind or pulling out too far in front of you, but who is pacing right alongside you. In my early military training days, I wasn't a strong runner, and that is what I found most helpful. To have someone who understands your pace and your struggles and running abreast you, so that he keeps pushing you to do just a little bit better without being overwhelmed. So we can have what it takes to keep going, to press on with perseverance, first by looking unto Jesus, who as a forerunner has gone on before us. And then secondly, to have the Holy Spirit right inside us and beside us as our helper, as our pace setter and our pacemaker. One of the most moving and inspiring stories of finishing a race is that of a man called John Stephen Aquari. And this happened at the Olympic Marathon in Mexico in 1968. Despite injuring his leg from an earlier collision and fall, he did not drop out of the race, though he had every reason to, because there were 17 others who did not complete the race for various reasons. And if anyone had a good reason to drop out, he was one. But he came in as the last of 57 runners who finished. When he hobbled into the stadium with a heavily bandaged leg in intense pain, he crossed the finish line more than 1 hour after the winner of that marathon race. And if you're talking about Olympic races, even for marathons, the margins are like seconds or minutes, not in hours. So the question is, why bother to continue running and to finish the race when you're so far behind and everybody almost has gone home? But for the small number of spectators who happened to remain, they witnessed the finish of a lifetime when they rose and cheered him on to finish his race. When he was asked why he did not quit the race earlier, his unforgettable reply was this: "My country did not send me all the way here to start the race, but to finish it." The Apostle Paul did the same, and so can we. In his last letter, he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So let's run, and let's keep running till we finish the race, in spite of all the falls, the setbacks, or the bruises, because in the end, that is all that matters." And I trust this has served to refresh you as you continue running the race by being rich with God's Word.
Let us run the race set before us with patience and endurance. You know, many of us start out well on this journey with Christ, but somewhere along the way, we sometimes grow weary, and we're tempted to quit. That ever happened to you? Well, if it does happen, remember that it is God who has set the race before us. Therefore, we will not lose heart. Thank you for that good word, Kenneth. And join us again tomorrow when Kenneth shares yet another reflection. In the meantime, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you have a question or comment to share about the program. Send us a text message. That number is 9431-3813. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road, Post Office, Singapore 915-714. And I'm happy to report that Times of Refreshing is now on Facebook. You can go there to post the latest updates that you'd like to share with us, or maybe socialize with other Times of Refreshing fans and give us your views right on our Facebook. I also invite you to visit our webpage. That's www.timesofrefreshing.asia. And Times of Refreshing has launched an iPhone app that allows users to directly access broadcast messages and podcasts right from their iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.